Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, couples therapist Dr. David Sanford, and we will be boldly going out in the podosphere once again where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we'll be joined once again toward the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. Good morning, Hughes. Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me?
Jim.
Hey, Hughes. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. A little glitchy on the switchboard here today. I don't have my music available. I'm not sure why. So we're going to start out without music, but we're going to talk about humor. So say something funny.
Ha, ha, ha. Is Mr. Sanford joining us today?
You know, he's supposed to, but I don't see him on the board. So for right now, it's just you and me, and I think Dr. Kiefner may or may not be joining us. He's in another one of those high-powered meetings of his, and so he may be coming in a little bit later. So we'll hope for him to come, but we'll carry on without him if he doesn't.
Okay, so this is going to be total improv this morning then, Jim. Is that what we're doing, huh?
Well, we're you know, last week we goofed up so much, the technology goofed up so much that weren't able to do the show on humor, so it's just you and me talking about humor. You want to start out, or you want me to?
No, I can jump in. I think the universe was laughing at us last week, so I'm glad that we're showing up again this week for it. I did some research for this show, and I found a joke that I'd like to start with. So I'm not the best joke teller, but I will try this one.
Okay.
So hold on, here we go. So a young couple, just married, were in their honeymoon suite on their wedding night. As they undressed for bed, the husband, who was a big burly man, tossed his pants to his bride and said, "Here, put these on." She put them on, and the waist was twice the size of her body. "I can't wear your pants," she said. "That's right," said the husband, "and don't you forget it. I'm the man who wears the pants in this family." With that, she flipped her panties to him and said, "Try these on." He tried them on and found that he could only get them up as far as his kneecaps and said, "Hey, I can't get into your pants." And she said, "That's right. Until there's an attitude change around here, you're not going to."
Very good.
So, I think jokes could be a wonderful way of kind of unlocking and unfolding, offering a different view at what may be a difficult situation for that couple in that relationship, you know, one of control and due to masculine energy or sexual energy and trying to run the control. And, you know, hopefully someone being able to look at a joke like that may be able to kind of see further than what is maybe just going on the surface and, you know, kind of step out of the roles a little bit and kind of maybe see what else might be going on. So jokes are a wonderful way of maybe kind of opening things up a little bit.
Yeah, I think one of the things is helping people not to take themselves too seriously. You know, I think
yes.
if you can see the humor in a situation rather than the frustration or the anger or the difficulty in a situation, if you can make that switch to see the humor of it, a lot of times you'll say, you know, in 5 years we'll all think this is funny, and that's a way to switch a little bit right in the moment. But you also can switch in the moment and say, where's the levity in this? Where's the humor? Where's something that we can lighten this up with? There's a psychotherapist named John Gottman, and one of the things that he talks about is repair attempts with couples. You know, when things get too tense, too serious, if somebody can de-escalate the tension, it is one of the biggest factors in couples being able to survive and be able to have a productive and positive relationship. And humor is a great way to change the tone, make a repair attempt in terms of there's something going on between us. But if we can look at it just at a different level or a different angle, it doesn't have to be as tense and as serious, especially if I cannot take myself so seriously or you cannot take yourself so seriously.
Well, nobody takes you serious with you.
See, that's why I have good relationships. Except with you.
Thousands of them.
That's right.
That's great. That's great.
Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of pick up on this theme a little bit, the bridge from where you were just talking about, too. You know, we get kind of, we can, after years of being in a relationship, we kind of get caught in patterns of thought and behavior. And, you know, it's part of growing up. We kind of do things over and over again as a way of making sense of the world or having some dominance in the world or some professionalism in the world. But we can also really get stuck in our patterns. We can also really get stuck in our thoughts and behavior patterns. And laughter, jokes, giggling is a great way to liberate us from those old patterns and to create space for new insights. So, you know, if like you were just saying, if it can be very reparative, if we can figure out a way to kind of bring some lightness or some levity or humor into those moments of stuckness, of familiar patterns of conflict or control or, you know, the never-ending fight or the never-ending issue that goes away. Is there, you know, we step back and maybe kind of look at it from a humorous standpoint, which may lend to looking at it in a new way, and that can be reparative. You know, just kind of getting out of the box a little bit.
Right. I think humor, one of the elements of humor is changing the plane that you're on. It's a clash of planes. Usually a joke is a surprise of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it's an area of creativity. And if you can look at a different plane, that's a way to be creative about finding a solution and finding a compromise in the relationship that really helps you to move past whatever stuck places you're in, because you need to you need to find a way out of that cul-de-sac that you've gotten yourself into. And get a new perspective. So if you can bring
yeah.
some humor, it's a creative way to look at the problem, as well as a reparative song.
It can be really hard to do that though in the midst of turmoil and crisis. It can really be hard to do. So therefore, it might be important to practice it when you're not in turmoil and crisis. You know, just kind of be mindful about making some light, fun of things, going out to a comedy club, bringing a joke of the day home, becoming mm-hmm. a good storyteller or a joke teller.
Right.
Kind of nurture that track when you do need it. Yeah.
Right. And we've got one of our regular callers on the line here who looks like she or he has a question. Let's
good. They got our check.
That's right. Hello, caller.
Good morning, darn guys.
I like it when you talk dirty.
I have an example of, I think this is a very interesting topic. The history of humor itself is fascinating. Mm-hmm. Just the use of grimacing your teeth goes right back to chimps. When they're nervous, they will show their teeth. So, you know, it's probably its origins were to be able to change the series so you didn't get the crap beaten out of you by Oog, you know? But
that Oog was a toughie, I know.
All right, it really was. But I have a sister who has the most advanced humor in any situation, and I just wanted to give you an example of two of them. One was with her husband, and they had a huge fight, and her husband said he was leaving, and he went out and sat in his car in the driveway for several hours, and then just at the front door, you could turn right and go down to the family room, down in the basement. So, I mean, obviously he wasn't leaving. He came back and slammed the door, went down to the basement, and my sister called down to him, "Shall we have your mail rerouted to the basement?" And
I think that's an excellent example, and
yeah.
You know, it's taking the tension away from that situation, and it was helping him to look at that a little differently from you know, how serious and how angry he was. To see it as, okay, you know, there's something on another plane here, a little bit absurd or whatever, that might help me to let go of some of that.
No, I can either just leave you with that, or I have another one that she did about death. Are you interested in that one?
I am, yes.
I am, too, because I think it's important to, you know, humor at hard times in life, and you know, this is a big issue around change and death, and it's examples are really helpful for me and for other people, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, our father died, and you can tell he had a sense of humor too. He died in the middle of December, so you can't bury anybody there then, and he wanted to be cremated and buried in a rum bottle anyway. So my sister, who has a big house, was given his ashes, and we decided that we would have a funeral when it was warm because it's a little country cemetery and that kind of thing, and she was having her house renovated. It got to be May, and I thought, well, we better get the organizations for his funeral going, so I called her. She always wears high heels. She answered the phone. I said, "Kathy, we have to make a date for Daddy's funeral and get going with the invitations and that kind of thing. Would June the 25th be okay?" And she said, "No, I can't do it." And I said, "Okay, the next weekend is whatever it is." She said, "I can't do it then either." I said, "Well, Kathy, I start teaching. Why can't you do either of those weekends?" And she said, "Because I've lost him." I said, "You have lost our father?" And she said, "Steph, it's a mess here. I haven't seen him in ages." And she said, "Just a minute." And a door opened, and I heard her click, click, click away on her shoes. And I heard her say to the contractor, she said, "Tom, have you seen a green bag?" And I have to say my father was a great traveler. And Tom said, "Lady, there's been 200 green bags go to this house." And Kathy, I could hear Kathy say, "Where are they now, Tom?" And he said, "They're in a landfill site in Michigan." So I hear her click, click, click back across the floor to pick up the phone to tell me this. And she says, "Steph." I said, "Yeah?" She said, "I've got good news." I said, "What?" She said, "Daddy's managed to squeeze in one last trip."
Excellent. Yeah. So that's a good way to get yourself out of a pickle.
Yeah.
You know, to not be shamed or not be guilty or not be embarrassed, but to see it on a different level, which makes for a great story and obviously changed the tone of that discussion between the two of you.
And she did find him. So.
Oh,
later.
Good.
Oh, she did. Okay. I was just wondering if you all went to Michigan for a funeral. before the service.
Sit around the landfill site, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for those humorous anecdotes and anecdotes.
Yeah.
Easy for me to say.
All the above.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I love that last one because it really makes sense not to take ourselves too seriously. And, you know, we tend to. You know, so when we can poke fun at ourselves or allow others to poke fun at us in those moments of tension, it can really help.
And we're really good at that, aren't we? But we have so much to work with. There's plenty to poke fun at with us. I think that's one of the premises for this show, is that, you know, we want to look at serious stuff, but we also, you know, want to be able to have that ability to have that perspective to also look at. In some ways, to lighten the burden, to lighten the load, to bring some humor to it, which I think helps all of us get through. You know, there can be things. You know, life can be hard. Life can be difficult. Life can be frustrating. And if you can't find humor in it, it can really weigh on you. If you can have some humor, it can lighten that burden.
Yeah. I just want to interject a serious side of humor, too, or maybe one that does have a cost that people sometimes struggle with, and they may not know they're struggling with it or do know exactly what they're doing. I just want to interject the word sarcasm as a form of humor that may not be so healing or reparative or nurturing and connecting. And, you know, I see a lot of couples, and, you know, sarcasm is a way that is meant to communicate sometimes, and I see it do a lot of harm sometimes. Is that your take on it too, Jim, with sarcasm?
I think it can be very negative, and I think it's, you know, that's something that really needs to be guarded against. I think it's one of those things where, you know the old thing, are you laughing at me or are you laughing with me? If there's some anger, if there's some aggression with the humor, then it can be destructive. And I think one of the things about sarcasm that's very difficult is that people say it with this sense of deniability. If you take it, you know, if you take offense, and then the person can say, hey, you know, I was only joking. And so it's sort of a double whammy. First of all, you're getting a zinger, and then you're too sensitive. And I think you have to be very careful about that. Back to John Gottman for a minute. He had what he called the four horsemen of the apocalypse, about the really four things that are very negative in a relationship. One of them is criticism. Another is contempt. And another one is defensiveness, and the fourth one is stonewalling. And of those, contempt is the most negative and most destructive, and the most predictive of relationships not lasting. So sarcasm is a way to deliver contempt, and like I said, sometimes with deniability. And, you know... Go ahead.
I'm not going to finish up and then I'll jump in.
No, it's fine.
Well, I think the definition of sarcasm sums it all up, and I pull out the dictionary a lot when the sarcasm is in the room. And, it has its origins in, I think, Greek, the tearing and ripping of one's flesh. And the current Western definition is an intentional inflicting of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is about contempt. It is about anger. It is about kind of something else beyond the smile and the high humor and, you know, kind of an arrow in the back is the lasting effect. You know, so I think it's really something that needs to be addressed if it is a tool that's used in a relationship for humor.
Right. And that can't be good for any relationship. I mean, anytime you're trying to injure or hurt the other person, that can't be good for the other person and for your relationship. So so sometimes you really have to say, what is the intention of the of the humor, and really take that seriously and really do some soul searching in terms of what your approach is. Is your approach a reparative one, or is your approach a destructive one? The other thing, and this used to be an issue for me, was using humor as a deflection. When something would get serious and I would be uncomfortable with it, I would make a joke. That was not helpful. I wasn't taking the other person seriously enough, and I really worked on that, and I think I do pretty well now in terms of using humor in a positive, constructive way rather than as a deflection or as a way to not take something seriously when taking it seriously is important and necessary. So, something that nobody likes is to say something that's of real importance and seriousness to them and then have it seem to be discounted with humor. So it's a tricky thing. It can be a very powerful positive thing, or it can be a powerful negative thing in a couple of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, is our good doctor, Mr. Kiefner, there?
He's not here yet, so I'm not sure he's going to be able to come. So we've got about 7 minutes left, and we're not very funny today, Hughes.
No.
I mean, I can see our fans tuning in, saying this is going to be really funny.
Here's the struggle.
You know why it's not funny? Because David's not here.
Exactly.
He's always good for a few laughs.
He couldn't get his clown suit on this morning. Maybe it didn't fit or something. I don't know what was going on for him, but yeah.
Right.
Poor David. Anyway, we just shot a clown into outer space last week, didn't we? The guy from Cirque du Soleil was out in outer space.
So, they did what?
You didn't hear that the founder of Circus Soleil was Anyway, do you use humor when you're doing counseling?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I do too. I find it just kind of brings the walls down and allows the therapy to get in a lot easier.
And of course that's another place where you have to be very careful, because people are coming in to see you with very important issues for them, very important problems for them, and you have to use humor skillfully to help them see the situation in a different light, or to take away some of the heaviness. But you have to be very careful not to dismiss or discount or make less the kinds of issues that they're struggling with. So again, it's a fine line that you have to do. But when used well, I think it can be very powerful, especially someone's too burdened by something or taking something too seriously or not seeing some other angle on their problem. I mean, therapy in general is mm-hmm. helping people to see something, reframing for it is one way to put it, to reframe a problem. And humor is certainly a very powerful reframe.
Yeah, it's very artful. Go ahead.
Yeah, I see Dr. Kiefner is with us. Let's go to Dr. Kiefner.
Hi, guys.
Hello,
can you hear
Kiefner.
Me?
Hey, we can hear you.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So,
yeah, hey, listen. Yeah.
I wanted to... can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I wanted to tell you about a couple. There were this couple, elderly couple, and they were having dinner with one another. And after the dinner, this joke. After the dinner, the wives went into the kitchen and the guys were sitting there and chatting for a while, and then one of them says to the other, "You know, the other night we went to dinner at a restaurant, and it was just fabulous, and you really should go. It was terrific." And the other guy says, "So, what was the name of the restaurant?" And there's this long pause, and he says, "What's that flower? The one you give to someone when you love them. It's red, and it's got the thorns on it." And the guy says, "You mean a rose?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah, rose, honey. What was that restaurant we went to the other night?" So the fact that you're laughing means that you've got a really good prefrontal cortex and that your right hemisphere is intact. Yeah. So
excellent.
So that's the minute on the mind on humor for today.
And that was exactly 60 seconds. That's brilliant.
So I probably missed something really deeply therapeutic before that.
Oh, absolutely.
Nah.
There's two different views on that. So say a little bit more, because it's interesting in terms of how the prefrontal lobe cortex makes it possible to appreciate the humor.
Well, you know how in a relationship when you say something that you think is funny and your partner doesn't think it's very funny?
Yeah.
It's because when you think it's funny, you're operating with the ability to appreciate two levels of information. So, like in that joke, you appreciate the fact that, you know, this guy's a little demented, and that, when he calls his wife, there's a kind of a disjunction between what you think is going to happen and what actually happened. And so the fact that you can appreciate that and see the humor in it is a pretty high level of cognitive functioning. Of course, you want to be careful in a real relationship to not accuse your partner of being stupid because they don't get your jokes. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, there's always the possibility that your jokes aren't funny.
There is always the possibility that your jokes aren't funny. I actually tried several different neuropsychology-based jokes last night on my wife, and that was the only one she thought was humorous. The others, she gave me this look like, "That's stupid."
Right. So that joke was pre-tested. Very good.
Yeah, that was pre-tested on my wife. So she was very, very generous with her time.
Excellent. Well, thank her for us.
Yeah, I will. So,
okay,
all right, I'm going to turn you guys loose.
Okay, we're almost out of here. Anything you want to sum up with, Hughes, or shall we just head out?
I can do another quick joke.
Okay, great.
Morning routine in my house. My wife's getting out of the shower. I'm getting in the shower. Doorbell rings. She heads downstairs wrapped in the towel. There's my next door neighbor, as she reports to me, with $800 in his hand. Can you hear me? I hear all this fuzzy stuff.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that is, but yeah, I can hear you.
So anyway, my neighbor's at the door with $800, and there's my wife wrapped in the towel, and he says, "I'll give you $800 if you drop the towel." So she drops the towel. He stands there for a minute or two, and she puts the towel back on, gets the $800, comes upstairs. And I say, "Who was that at the door?" She goes, "Oh, that was our neighbor." And I say, "Did he say anything about the $800 he owes me?"
Very good.
Yes,
yeah. Okay, on that note, we're out of here. And we'll see you next week with another Darn Guys show. I just wanted to say, if you want to contact either Hughes or myself, there's some links on the site. And, one of the things you can contact me for is some internet e-therapy. And you can contact me at drjimweaver.com. Okay, here we go. Megan Jo Wilson, take us away.